were being given, but from the church, you know, used in the scriptures, is about how we relate to one another. And today we have, in both readings, we have this whole notion of caring for each other. You know, in the first reading, it says, don't defraud or rob your neighbor. You shall not withhold overnight the wages of your day laborer. Construction guys go out in the morning and work on it. Well, I don't have any cash. Come back tomorrow, I'll pay you. It's a sin. It's a sin. And anybody who does that will hear from the Lord about it. You see? Not act dishonestly in rendering judgment and so forth, you see. And here the Lord makes it very deep. I'm that one. I'm that one. And there is a way that is very mysterious that the Lord is identified with all who are suffering. Still, it's a great mystery because He's glorious, radiant, filled with light. His body shines. Even the marks of His wounds are glorious. But He still suffers. He still suffers. And He suffers in all the people who are oppressed. Now, we have here the solution, if you will. Care for Jesus Christ. Some of us will go over there to pray at the clinic. One day, hopefully we'll hear. Huh? I was in my mother's womb and on the way to destruction. And you averted it. And so I live. So come in. In other words, the church is telling us, take the teaching of the Son of God very seriously. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. You do to me. We can't start Lent on a highly spiritual level and ignore the suffering. We just can't do that. And so, now in a civilization, and I've lived in them, some of you have too, where you pass these people every day. See, up here in Disturbia, we don't see it, you know? But in some cultures, you every day. When I lived in Rome, which was very poor when I first lived there, I remember I went to the general and said, we had to get out of the house on Thursday. It was the day that universities are off, and we had to go see a monument or do something. I went to the general and I said, can I go visit the poor? I didn't even know what I was going to do, you know. He said, yes, but I want you to work with Sister So-and-so, marvelous woman, one of the Augustinians of the poor, some. And so I would go to her and I would get instructions on what to do. And I would go see this family and that family. And I remember one family, I never expected to talk about this. There was one woman got TB. Well, whoof, this is back in 19, whatever it was, 1958 maybe, you know. And in a culture like that, they didn't have a lot of high class stuff. This woman had TB, young woman. And she was in the hospital. Yeah, she was in the hospital. She had one child. Her husband would come to the door of the hospital room and say hello, holding the baby. No, because, you know, TB in those days, in that culture, was a death sentence. So he's not going to get near her. He's got to get the baby in her. So there she is looking at her only child, you know, 20 feet away or whatever. And then finally, she went home. And she died. Anna, her name was. So I went over to pray. And her sister was there. Her sister wasn't worried about all that stuff. That was my sister. And so she said to me, Padre, perché? Father, why? And I looked at her and I said, listen, Maria, I think her name was. You've lived longer than I have. You've suffered more than I have. I don't know, but I can promise you this, that Jesus knows, and Jesus is taking care of this woman. I promise you. Grazie, Padre. You see, that's, I don't know why that story came to me, but I was thinking, you know, this woman, and it was real poverty in Rome in those days, real poverty. And so I carry a bunch of small coins in my pocket because everyone was coming up to you all day, you know. My God, he's a priest, he's rich, you know. And I gave him what I, you know. But I tried always at least to give him dignity. You know, I would say something to them and I would say, you know, now you're going to pray for me, aren't you? And I'm still counting on them. You know. That's Jesus. We can't, you know, in our big antiseptic, you can write a check to the United Way, you know. That's a good idea. But it's a better idea to take care of those who are close. What this text says here, you see, and don't neglect your own flesh, the Hebrew text says, huh? Your own flesh. Where does it say that here now? Anyway, it says it. You shall not, and you should take, oh no, I'm sorry, it's the Isaiah 58 text we had the other day. And don't neglect your own flesh, your own family. This is very serious. And I think this Lent, it would be good for us to do something very practical. I don't mean a mammoth drive. I mean, just everybody do something. You know? It's important. We have abundance. And there are people. They're not up here for the most part, but you don't know. Just loving some of these people. You know, they bought the big house and the going to announce that they've arrived and all the rest, and to this moment they can only furnish the ground floor. Upstairs they're sleeping on mattresses, and with all the financial, and that's all they have. They don't know the Lord. They've been trained to think this is it: concupiscence of the eyes, concupiscence of the flesh, the pride of life. That's it. And now they're scared to death. That's our poor around. That's why, as I tell you, I stand here and I watch those cars back and forth. Where the heck are they going? You know, some of them are going to drive down. I've did it myself. You know, drive all the way down to Washington, an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. It's the last form of slave labor left in the country. And you know, and everybody tells them, this is success, this is so. What an illusion. And so then they're frightened to death. Let's make up our minds. We're going to do something this Lent. You know, the text says, do something. You know, everybody in this chapel has got more stuff than they need, I'll bet. Well, there's somebody can use it. And let's do that. And I was thinking of it. When these people get me on the phone, man, I've had it. I mean, I can't, you know, little kids and they don't have a cleft lip and can you give money to, what are you going to say? No? You can't. So I try to protect myself. I don't answer the phone a lot, but if they got me, they got me. But I imagine, I don't know why that cleft lip, I was praying for them this morning. You know, it's got to be all these kids in heaven with a lovely smile, and I'm going to say, hey, look what I did, you know. It's important. And it's amazing that the church gives us this. And so the people are going to walk around out there in the cold and pray. See, they're protecting life. And they're saving some women from the awful weight. I'm a priest, 56 years. You have no idea what happens to these women when they have an abortion. They either stay human and are all crunched up, or like one woman bragged to me, she'd had 9 abortions or something. And she was as hard as this table. You get the idea, huh? The Lord is saying, take care of me. I suffer. I'm cold. I'm hungry. I'm beat up. I'm confused. You know, people have sent me down the wrong path. I think reality and life and all the rest is money and power, and take care of me. I gave you all this, and I'm going to feed you on my body and blood. Take care of me. The mixed up rich, the hungry poor. Come on, you got something you can give. Take care of me.